You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On the line. Well, we had a chat to this person during the 40th anniversary week last year about their single at the time, which was Avignon, a very, very French song. Since then, they've released Buddha, Forget You, and their new track, Hoping and Wishing, which is the subject of conversation here. We've got Kirsten Morel on the line, coming to us from Ponike, Tamaki Makaurau.
Hi, kia ora.
Oh, you go, sorry. There you go. Are you coming to us from Tamaki or Ponike?
Tamaki Makaurau.
Right. How is that going?
Excellent, most excellent. It's a lovely day here. Mm-hmm. What can I tell you about it? I reckon the clouds will burn off and it'll be searingly hot this afternoon again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just before, we were talking about Black Friday deals. You're clearing a lot of emails out of your inbox.
It's Black Friday, and I open the emails, and I'm inundated with all these deals. It's like, oh, what do I do? I mean, it's kind of cool. My sister-in-law's birthday's coming up. Shh. it's handy, but at the same time, slightly irritating.
It is slightly irritating. I think it shows just like, you know, America is slowly infecting every country in the world, because that's a very American thing. When you used to be in the UK, was Black Friday a thing there at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Actually, I reckon Black Friday is it feels like an English thing. But yeah, you're right. Maybe it's American to begin. Yeah, it's American, isn't it?
I think so. I think it started with like Walmart or Target.
Oh God, we're showing our ignorance here, aren't we? But yeah, all overpopulated places have these things. But you know, it's handy. Yeah, I mean, it's handy if you're in the middle of winter and you're flipping paying stupid power prices and you haven't got a television, your television has suddenly stopped and you've got no entertainment over Christmas and you're locked down, then, you know, a Black Friday deal, £50 for a new television is a pretty good thing to have.
That is good. I do agree with that. I mean, I love a sale. I do love a sale, but I just think it's kind of infuriating how many different ads I'm getting about it. Like, I don't need to know about all of them. I'm certainly not going to Red Bull Sport to get cheap soccer balls. Look at me. Anyway, two days ago, you played at Big Fan quite recently up in Tamaki Makaurau.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Wicked. It was so good. My band and I, my new band and I had so much fun. Mm-hmm. It was just brilliant. It was a pretty full house too. Like, I was freaking out to be launching the first gig that we do, like, in the middle of like internationals like Metallica and Suicidal Tendencies and Elastica and like Doja Cat and stuff, people just inundating.
Were they all playing in Auckland?
All playing in Auckland. Lenny Kravitz.
Oh my
God. Like, you know, and they're charging hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I was so worried that we weren't going to get anyone at all. But actually, we got a really pretty full house, and my band and I had such a good time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm so happy. And I just want to give a big shout out to Dominic Blazar, Stevie Shaw, Ryan Carroll, and Grant Kirkpatrick. So we've put this whole album together, and we've done a really kind of cool modular thing with the music. Like, we're doing I don't want to call them backing tracks, but that, you know, like, we've kind of mixed in the stems of the album. We've also mixed in the stems of some Golden Horse music. So yeah, we'll just keep building on it. So we did this. We slammed out the Golden Horse hits at the end of the gig, which was so much fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering, because this new track, Hoping and Wishing, like, the two key parts of it are really your voice and this really thumping 808. It's real crispy. And I want to know, how did you do that live? Do you just play the stems live?
No, the central part, Zach, is actually Barkin Sutkaya, who is a classical guitarist who teaches at Auckland University, and his beautiful traditional beauty, he's from Turkey, and his beautiful playing is central to Hoping and Wishing. And it's like a real, but you're right, it's a real crunchy sound. That song in the studio, that song was about to become like fully Pixies-esque. And so I just let it roll, kind of watched the timer on the studio and was like, uh-oh, fingers Clint, fingers Murphy and Ben King and my very, very confident and wonderful collaborators, musicians in the studio were just going for it. So I just let them, get the ideas out, and then I heard, because I had some lovely mentoring sessions with a lovely gentleman called Robin.
Yes, who the song was kind of dedicated to.
Yeah, it is actually. He passed away sadly earlier this year, but he gave me some beautiful, because he's from Crouch End Festival Chorus, and he's a composer and a conductor and a festival inventor in his own right.
I want to touch on that. You mentioned an interview with Marty Duda from the 13th Floor. What festivals did he invent?
I don't know, but if you go to his website, because if you go to his website, you'll see, he originally sang in the Sadler's Wells choral troupe, who are the original English National Opera chorus.
Whoa!
So it's a fascinating world of music when you start unearthing members of these collectives.
Yeah.
Everybody has so many talents of their own, and I was just so honoured and grateful that Robin sat down with me and just gave me the confidence really to push through with Pop World. I was playing him like Vespertine and Björk albums that I love production wise, and I was playing that to a 78-year-old gentleman, and he was just open and friendly Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Getting 78-year-old men to listen to Vespertine, that's awesome. You might have a unique skill with that. this song originated to you when you were thinking about leaving London as Russia invaded Ukraine about 3 years ago, which, sort of exacerbated a lot of tensions that are currently, rising in Europe. What was it like when that happened? Because London is very, very close. It's always in the news cycle over there, from what I've heard. What was it like when that happened?
Ugly.
Mm.
Just ugly. Mm. There's a good word. I had to... It just suddenly changed. I think we were kind of managing the pandemic and things, and then it just got ugly. I was involved. I mean, it's a couple of things that just for me personally living there just crossed the line.
Yeah,
like being threatened in the street. I've never had that before.
Yeah. And was it quite a difficult decision to make? Was it something you were really, really like, tumbling over in your head quite a lot?
Yeah, because like the threat was over a baby. It was like I was threatened, a guy threatened to punch me in the face, and it was just at a local cafe, and so it's like I just stepped in to help a woman and her baby out. That's the level of aggression that was happening, and that's I'm in London. Yes, I was very London's my hometown. I was pretty scared.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. So I meant, was it a difficult decision to make to leave London? Sorry, but I'm really sorry that happened to you. That's horrible, man. And have you been back since? Okay. Is it still the same kind of level of,
attention? No, I am waiting until my carbon footprint is, I waited until my carbon footprint is sorted. So I haven't been back yet, but I'd love to.
I did notice that in the, I think it was the press release for this new song, or you've been trying to be carbon neutral lately with your music videos or something? How do you do that?
I am Zach. So, how do I do it? How many hours have you got? No, it's quite easy, really. There's toolkits available within the arts and within the film industry, and I've got a wonderful friend and colleague who runs an outfit called Moonshot City, and they're actually relaunching as Marama Productions, but just collaborating with people who are available and doing it. Okay, yes, it's a bit more admin. Okay, yes, you've got data to fill in, and you've got information to collect, and you've got effort to make, but it actually feels much more natural to have the production manager send a big email around to say, hey, everyone, we're reducing our carbon footprint. Can you not bring twice used plastics? Can you not use plastics at all? Can we just, you know, and can we cook and can we all collaborate and bring some... bring our own chocolate brownie, that kind of thing.
Yeah. More of a kind of village spirit kind of vibe. Reduce your consumption.
Exactly. And then it's easy. You just apply the toolkit and you make sure that they are industry compatible. And then there are the facilities. You can feed that back to the ISO standard maker or the British standards maker and you're happy. And it's like they appreciate it because that's their actual job. So yeah.
Oh well, congratulations. That's awesome, man. That's really, really sick. I really want to touch on the song, the sound of this song, because as you mentioned before, it does have Bach and Tsutkaya. It's quite choppy from what I noticed. Like there's these 808s, and then there's your sort of vocal inflections which ride throughout the whole thing, and then there's all these changes and there's these rises of momentum that get brought back to those 808s. Like, do you think that you're experimenting quite a lot on this track?
Oh, you're really getting into that, Zach, aren't you? You want to know how I work in the studio. I'm not giving my secrets away.
Fair enough.
Not at this stage. This is my seventh studio album, by the way. Yeah.
But do you think that you're experimenting more on this thing? Because it's yeah, I don't know. It's the 808s. The 808s really got to me. I was like, whoa. This is great.
I don't experiment. No. I do. I improvise and I play spontaneously if I feel like it. Mm. But I don't experiment anymore. This is a studio album. No.
There's no room for experimenting on studio albums.
Not with the zero budgets we've got these days.
True.
No.
True.
I do all my work up front. Mm. I plan. Mm. And then yeah, you know, I wrangle most of the time. I'm like a co-producer. I'm wrangling the space and making sure everybody's like sticking to the thing. Luckily, I don't have to do with the team that I had for Morellium. I don't have to do too much of that work because they're people I know and trust that I've worked with before. Like, Clint Murphy, he's really just evolved into a producer lately. So he wasn't. We worked with him on Golden Horse's Reporter. He was the studio engineer, and when we worked with Phil Vinyl, Final Vinyl. Clint was the studio assistant engineer, and he was great. So I just thought, well, let's see what we can do on Morellium together. And Ben King, you know, like it's an implicit, I think when you've recorded three albums together, you don't need language isn't something you need necessarily.
The music is the language, brother.
Well, that's right. Music is a language.
It is a language of noise. I love it. But I guess what I meant by that question was more so, are you trying things out that you've always wanted to try, or trying new things out with this record that you might not have tried otherwise? That's what I mean by experiment. Not like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. I mean, you try, because it sounds quite it's a very new sound.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, yeah, you know, again, Barkin, just set him up and let him go.
Mm-hmm. Barkin's Barkin.
give musicians the space to shine, and then they will.
Mm-hmm, they sure will. You mentioned before the new album, Morellium, is coming out next year, pretty soon. On RNZ, you jokingly said that the name is a new element on the periodic table. If so... If Morellium is a real element, would it be a gas, a metal? Would it be radioactive? What would you imagine Morellium would be like? Does it have a very short half-life?
Ah, well, we're not allowed to talk about the album until I release it, Zach.
So mysterious. You're so mysterious, Kirsten.
Well, these will be the questions, won't they?
They actually will be the questions. One thing I also want to say is the cover art has a very 60s sort of feel to it. I don't know what it is you're sitting in, that kind of egg chair, but it's very 60s vibe. I like it a lot.
Oh yes, that's an egg chair. Yeah. That's a Scandinavian, like, super duper designer egg chair. Yeah, that's a photo shoot I did with my brother at Associated Newspapers in Kensington, and there was an egg chair available.
Crazy. Crazy, man. It looks awesome. It's good. I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
As always, very, very lovely to have you. One last question. New Year's plans. What are you thinking?
Oh, gig.
Gig?
Does anyone want to give us a gig?
I have to talk to BFM for that one. I mean, if you want to come and play Dunedin, I'm sure there's some venues that'll have you.
I'm navigating Christmas parties, etc. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, I want to thank you for coming out, for coming on the program. it's going to be exciting. Marillion's going to be dropping in the new year pretty soon. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations you'd like to leave our lovely listeners with?
Oh yeah, definitely, Dunedin. Just take care of each other, and just please be safe this Christmas. I fell off a shelf last year, so that's why I've disappeared for like 8 months, and I broke my foot, and etc. So please, absolutely, look after your loved ones, look after your friends, most of all, and your family, most of all.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Thank you very much. Take care, man. That was Kirsten Morell. We're talking to Kirsten about her new track, "Hoping and Wishing." In brackets, Robin's song. After that, we'll have some more songs, then some ramble chats, and then we'll wrap up the show. You are indeed listening to The Big Breakfast on Radio 191 FM. Te reo irirangi kotahi. Take care, folks.
Man, the curtains. That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.